Vajra-rahasya. We finished yesterday this discussion about Mahaprabhu and the mood of Radharani giving an explanation of all the nuances and flavors and sentiments of Ashlishyava Parvatam Panashtamam. To what extent Radharani has accepted Krishna as a Prananath, Naparaha, the Lord of my life. And we heard the different translations. So there's some other translations here. This, of course, is Ashtamayam Sadhana Bhajan Rahasyam, is all about Prem Bhajan, at the level of Prema and Sambhog, which gets interesting. Sambhog. The previous verse that we discussed in Saptamayam Sadhana, Yagayita Namashina Chakshusha Pravashayatam, this describes Vipralamba, is also a level of Prema, but Vipralamba. And the Shlishiva Parvatam, here, this is the Prema, Prem Bhajan. Of course, we're far from Prem. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us this description. What is it like for devotees at the level of Prema? Because Prema is like a river, has these two banks, the bank of separation, the bank of union. And of course, at some point, we will have union with Krishna. And service union will be unified with Krishna in service. So there another translation is given to the standard one we hear for this verse as Shlishiva Parvatam Panashtamam. Krishna may embrace me in love or trample me under his feet. Krishna may break my heart by hiding himself from me. Let that debauchee do whatever he likes, but he will always be the Lord of my life. So this Alingata says Alingya. He says, crush me, delight me or crush me by his embrace. This is, in our world, we don't really know or have any experience of such an intensity or purity of loving feelings. Because all of our actions, all of our exchanges are ruled by ego, the mood of dominance. The mood of control and dominance enters into every relationship in this world. As someone, we may have what we call so-called intimate or close relationship, husband, wife, man, woman, whatever. But if they hurt us or if they trample us or kick us, then we'll respond. We'll go, we'll leave, we'll get divorced or we'll go away or we'll get revenge on that person, we'll get back at them. We'll do something, but we won't have the response that Radharani has, the type of unbelievable tolerance, and no matter what he can do anything to me, and I'm still there, I'm still right there for Krishna. And someone might say, well, I'm also like that, I've tolerated my wife or husband in so many ways, and I'm still there. But we're never really, we may be still there physically, but part of our heart or part of our emotions will be shattered or diminished, and the intensity of concentration of our attachment or our feelings will be somewhat diluted by that transgression or that offense or that neglect or that insult or injury that our beloved may have inflicted upon us emotionally or mentally, psychically. But in Radharani's case, Krishna, no matter what Krishna does, she never diminishes her love one degree, or in fact, she increases more. If Krishna neglects Radharani and shows interest in some other gopi, then she increases her love and increases her dedication and increases her attachment, which is quite opposite any type of response any person would have in a loving relationship in this world. That you would get kicked, neglected, trampled, kicked, and then you would bounce back from that with twice as much love and twice as much care and twice as much consideration. It would never be that way. As I said, our egos would not allow it. And our ego is the very pivot point of our whole existence. It's our identity. Jiva minus ego means non-existence. Ego is the eternal part of our life. So now, as we have done in the previous analysis of these different verses of Shikshastakam, and then try to gradually progress to a level of understanding it all, and then enter into the verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. But the basic verse, which he has meditated on, he's chanted the Maha Mantra late in the night. Generally, his bhajan was late in the night from 10 or 11 until 1 or 2. And as I mentioned so many introductory times in the same class, that he's praying to Gorgadadhar and Radha Madhav to have revelations about this book, how to progress, how to bring it to this full, all the secrets of bhajan, from the level of Shraddha all the way to Prema, Ado Shraddha Tata Sara Sangha Bhajana Kriya. So now we're at the level of Prema, and Prema has two features, separation, union. And now in this development of Shraddha to Prema follows the course of the Shikshastakam. So Śrīla Śivāpadavratam Panashtamam is all about Prema. And then this Shikshastakam and this development of bhakti from Shraddha to Prema actually follows parallel the eight pairs of names in the Maha Mantra. So now the last pair of names is Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Hare means Prem, Sambhog, Sambhog, Prem. So this is, he's seeing all this, and then he's praying, well, all right, these three, now what are the verses? Which verses from which shastras will tie all these together? The Shikshastakam, the stages and levels of bhakti from Shraddha to Prem, and this pair of holy names, Hare Hare, and this Leela, Avastakali Leela, this Nisha Leela, Ratri Leela. So there's four things being synthesized here. It's quite a synthesis. And then to bring those four things together, just like in, what's it called? It's called a catalyst. If you have different chemicals and you mix them together, but they won't actually combine and produce the desired result unless another substance is introduced to that mixture, which is called a catalyst. And a catalyst moves the combination to a certain position or new creation. Then itself, it disappears. So in this case, the catalyst, all these four things become combined by these verses that he cites. You combine Hare Hare, that's one point. You combine this pastime of Nisha Leela, that's the second. You combine the Shikshastakam, Ashla Shiva Padratam Varashmam, right? You have the Leela, Astamayam Leela, then Shikshastakam, then the syllables, and then Prem, right? The four things. Two syllables, Hare Hare, then a Leela, Nisha Leela, and then Shikshastakam and Śrīla Śivam Padavratam, then the levels of Ado Shraddha Tata, this Prema. Yes? You with me? That's the four things. Now what's gonna combine, what's that catalyst is going to combine all these four together? That catalyst is a group of verses. Each verse is one of those one stage of that catalyst, catalytic conversion. If you want to be scientific. And there's 24 verses. 24 verses, which are the catalytic elements to this level of bhajan called Prem Bhajan. So each one of these verses will form one of the catalysts to bring that about. This is quite an advanced scientific formula here. So now let's go down, back up a little bit to the beginning, because he starts off this whole bhajan with this. This is it. This is the cornerstone or the keystone of this arch of bhajan. And you can't pass through this arch of bhajan or attain this without understanding this keystone. And this keystone, which is the stone that holds an arch, is the center stone of an arch. It's called the keystone, which holds an arch together and architecture. The keystone is this verse, the Shlishava Paravatamadashtamandarshnamam Momentum Kurutva, Yatata Dava Vedanatalampato, Ma Pranatas to save an aparaha. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to know the meaning and understand each word of this verse. And then the meanings. We've given some meanings. We've described the Radharani's own description and commentary on this verse, which is in Antilila Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 20, from verse 48 to 60 or 70 or so. Now we'll take the word, this Ashlishya. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation. In this phrase, delighting me, Radharani saying, Krishna, you may delight me by your embrace. In this particular phrase, Ashlishya, there is a scent or an aroma, a touch of desire for Radharani's personal happiness. The devotee only wants to offer his love to Krishna and give happiness to him. This phrase completely confirms the nature of prem. So there's a little bit of scent for personal happiness. One may see it like that. Delight me by your embrace. But the nature of the actual nature of prem is, especially the samartha rati of the gopis, where it's completely, their complete benefit or wealth is for Krishna and nothing for themselves. So this particular point is described in Bhajan Rahasyam and text number 17 and 18. Text 17 and 18 describes a shlishya, the enthusiasm of the mood of prem, sambhog, serving Krishna's lotus feet, love and union. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an introduction. He says, the gopis bhavachovas, outburst of feeling that expresses the bhav hidden in their hearts while meeting with Krishna is described in Krishna Karnamrita. Nikila Bhuvanan Lakshmi Nitya Lila Ilas Padabhyam Kamla Vipina Vitigarava Sarvan Kashabhyam Pranamarabhyam Dhana Prodi Gadadritabhyam Kimapi Vahato Cheta Krishna Padambujabhyam. Radharani said, may my heart attain indescribable bliss at Krishna's lotus feet, which are the eternal abode of pastimes for the original goddess of fortune, Nikila Bhuvana Lakshmi. Those lotus feet, they defeat the pride of bunches of lotus flowers, the pride of their own beauty. They're more beautiful than clusters of lotus flowers. And they are deeply respected everywhere for their great power in giving shelter to surrendered souls. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for his Bengali audience, which of course is not us, but he has put this Sanskrit verse of Bilvamangala Thakur into Bengali. Nikila Bhuvana Lakshmi Radhika Sundari Chandra Niti Lilaspada Parama Madhuri Kamla Vipina Garva Shaya Jahi Jhaya Pranata Abhaya Dhane Proda Shakti Maya Hena Krishna Parapadma Krishna Mama Man Apurva Utsava Rati Karuka Vihan. And there's translation we have here. The most beautiful Sri Radhika is the goddess of fortune of all the worlds. So she is the Bhuvana Lakshmi. Nikila Bhuvana Lakshmi Radhika Sundari. She is that goddess of fortune. Krishna's lotus feet are Radharani's eternal playground. Krishna's lotus feet are Radharani's eternal playground. Tandra Nitya Lila Lilas Pada Parama Madhuri. Parama Madhuri. So that Parama Madhuri, Krishna's feet are so sweet. It's the topmost imaginable, unimaginable sweetness is contained within Krishna's feet. And that's Radharani's Nitya Lila Spada, his Paraparama Madhuri. That's where she's always having pastimes, her eternal playground. Playground means her lila stali, Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet defeat the pride of clusters of lotus flowers, and they're highly praised due to providing safety for those who take refuge there. May my mind always enjoy an unparalleled festival of love for Krishna's lotus feet. Pranata abhaya dhan proda shakti mai. Kamala vipina garva kshaya yahai hai. Krishna parapadma Krishna mamaman. Apurva utsav rati karako bahan. Apurva utsav. We have maha utsav. Utsav means festival or celebration. An occasion for joy, a party, utsav. And then we have maha utsav, means great utsav, or festival, or celebration. And that becomes mahotsav. But Radharani's saying, apurva utsav. It's unprecedented. There's no festival. There's never been a festival like this before. And there never will be a festival like this in the future. This is the most extraordinary, unprecedented festival that's happening, this utsav, vrati utsav. Unparalleled festival love for Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna mamaman, my mind is just filled with Krishna's feet. So this is an outburst of feeling that expresses the bhava hidden in the heart. Saranga Rangada commentary. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj. Now this is, of course, in English. There's a couple of versions of this book in English now, or no. Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote commentaries on Bilvamangala Thakur's book, Krishna Karnamrita. When Krishna reappeared after disappearing from the Ras Lila, a gopi who was burning in the fire of separation from Krishna took his lotus feet and placed them upon her breast. This is described in most of this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto. Different gopis were reacting indifferently when Krishna came back. Some of them, They took him through the aperture of their eyes. They saw Krishna from a distance and they took his form into their heart and they embraced him within the heart. Some of them bit their lower lip and looked at him with anger. And some of them, and they had different responses. Some of them took his hand. They went up to him, took his hand and put it on their shoulder. And then the commentaries explain each verse, although it's not told in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vishwanath, he's telling, this verse is spoken by Lalita, this is Chandravali's response. And he said, this is Radharani's response. And Radharani, she simply looked from a distance with sidelong glance of like some little bit of man, a little bit of anger. And then Krishna, although one gopi is taking Krishna's hand, putting it on her shoulder, another is picking out Krishna's feet, holding it to her breast, and some of them were very forward and they're intentions or conveying their intentions and expressing their attachment and love. And some were physical, some were verbal. But Radharani, all of Krishna's attention went to Radharani. Although someone was holding his hand and his feet, and those feet, hand was one place, his feet were another place. But his heart and mind were all like on Radharani. Like, oh, who that? And she was the farthest away. She was staying at a great distance. But she was like a powerful magnet. There may be so many attractive things on either small, there may be small magnets, maybe some iron filings in a pile, and some small magnets here and there with small, very less magnetic power. But if a big magnet comes at a distance with drawing so much concentrated magnetic power, then all the filings will run to that magnet. They won't go to the little magnets on the side because they're not emanating much magnetic pull or power. And Radharani is that electromagnet. She's that superconductor, that electromagnet. Electro means a magnet surcharged with electricity, electromagnet. So the magnetic force, the force in the magnet is supercharged by the input of electricity. It's known as electromagnet. And Radharani is supercharged with her Mahabhav, with her Divyon Mad Mahabhav. So she was pulling, all Yudhishthiras were there, Chandravali was there, and they're all quite forward in their expressions of their loving concern and attachment for Krishna after they met him again, after the Gopi Geet, songs of separation. And they're trying to pull him and attract him. Even they're pulling his feet, like we say, pull my leg. They're pulling his leg. literally. They were pulling his feet, holding his feet to their breast, and taking his arm. And they thought, oh, we have Krishna, we're pulling him. We're pulling his arm, we're pulling his leg. And some pulled his cheek and kissed him on the cheek. And some put their tambo in his mouth and everything. So much they were trying to captivate and enchant and attract him with their charms and sweetnesses and loving gestures. And Krishna was not moved at all. Because a person exists where his heart is. You may do anything with his body, or even his body or limbs, but where he really lives or where he really exists is where his heart is, where his heart is placed. So Krishna's heart was immediately pulled by Radharani's electromagnetic bhav, her force of her love. So he and everyone could understand it, that what they were holding was like a limp body, or they're holding his feet and arm, but there is no electricity there, no power there. That's very interesting. Then Leela Shuka, he's saying, this is in Krishna book. I'm explaining the 10th canto of Bhagavatam and Shukadeva in the commentaries of Vishwanath. Now what Leela Shuka is saying here is that there's some gopi that's doing this, and he's saying, Leela Shuka explains that this verse refers to Radha's keeping Krishna's lotus feet on her heart. Krishna's sporting, this is a different time, it's not, well, this is Rasa dance, but they finally enter the Kunj. Krishna is sporting with Radha in a solitary Nikunj, Nibrita Nikunj. As soon as Krishna places his reddish lotus feet on Radha's breast, they become even more reddish. May these lotus feet, smeared with kunkum from Radharani's breast, fully manifest in her heart. So this is Krishna's Kaviraj's commentary from the angle of view of Kasturi Manjari, or Babalas Rati, Manjari Bhav, at the level of Prem, obviously. In describing the speciality of Krishna's feet, he says that they defeat the pride of lotus flowers. Well, if you're going to compare two objects, then there must be some points of comparison, and there must be some similarities, and then some differences which distinguish one object from the other. So here on one side we have Krishna's feet, and they're compared to lotus flowers. So lotus flowers are, we haven't seen, but there are red lotus flowers or pink lotus flowers, and Krishna's feet are red or pinkish. That's one point of similarity or comparison between Krishna's, his lila, nitya lila pad, padabhyam, kamala vipina viti garva. And what are the other comparisons? A lotus flower is cooling. It's fragrant, it smells good, it's soft, and it's beautiful for the five senses. And the bumblebee becomes mad by drinking its honey. Everyone, even human beings, can experience with their senses different features of a lotus flower. The lotus flower satisfies our sense of sight because of the design. The design, the shape, design, texture, color. These satisfy and attract the sense of sight. Then we may smell the lotus flower. It's a very wonderful smell. And hear the lotus flower. That may be something special. But he's saying, you'll hear, it's not a specific lakshana of the lotus flower, but it's corollary, because the bees aren't always there. So it's not a sarup lakshana, which is eternally existing with the object. That would be tatastilakshana, which is occasional or secondary. Anyway, but he's saying it's beautiful for the five senses. So ultimately it's cooling, soft to the touch, cooling, fragrant to the nose, beautiful to look at. But human beings don't have this experience, but the little bumblebees, the madhukar, they're living entities as we are jivas and living entities. When they taste that little bit of water, to us it's like water, very distilled, fine droplets of water. When the bumblebees taste the lotus nectar, the sudha, Padma sudha, Kamala sudha, then they become intoxicated, they become mad. So that's the lotus flower. The bees become mad by drinking its honey. But Krishna's feet, lotus flower intoxicates the bumblebees. But Krishna's lotus feet also have this power of intoxication. Krishna's lotus feet are cooling, they're fragrant, They're soft and beautiful. And you also, they also have the power of intoxication. How so? Krishna's lotus feet are intoxicating in a different, exceptional way. Krishna's lotus feet are the embodiment of beauty and wealth for all material and transcendental living beings. And Krishna's feet are the eternal abode of pastimes for the original goddess of fortune, Nikila Bhuvana Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi is always there. That's her place of, that's her Leela Stali. Her Leela Stali is not Sevakunj or Nidiban or Terakadam. Her Leela Stali is Narayan Pad, Vishnupad. That is the abode of Dham, Leela Dham. The Leela Dham of Lakshmi is Krishna's feet. Narayan's feet, another form of Krishna. That's her place. She's there, and that's where she has her pastime. She's massaging Krishna's feet. Sometimes he falls asleep, while she's massaging the feet, he falls asleep. And then she falls asleep holding onto his feet. And then she wakes up. So her place is there. Nikila Bhuvana Lakshmi. However, this phrase, Nikila Bhuvana Lakshmi, we can take Lakshmi to mean Lakshmi, Lakshmi Narayan, consort of Narayana Vishnu, Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Bhav. But we can take Lakshmi to mean the Adi Lakshmi. The Adi Lakshmi or the Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Radha. Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Radha. Adi Lakshmi Radha, she is the origin of all the Lakshmis. She is the original. Then, the phrase that Bhil Mangala Thakur is using, Akila Bhuvana Lakshmi, can refer to all the gopis who offer everything to the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna takes away the affliction of their lust or intense desire by touching them with his lotus feet. This itself shows the extraordinary nature of Braja Bhakti or Gopika Bhakti, that they are Vishuddha Nirmal Prem for Krishna. The exchanges between Krishna and the damsel of the Braj have nothing to do with material affairs, although it's called Kamanuga Bhakti, or that they're Kamarup. It's called Kamarup Ragatmika Bhakti of the Brajajanas, Brajagopis. Kamarup. It is a form of Kam. It seems to resemble Kam. It's about conjugal pastimes, sexual union, and men and women in most intimate scenes and settings, and Surata Kathamritam, nectarine talks and love talks and union, and all kinds of most tender and intimate exchanges in the kunjas of Vrindavan. But if we look at take a closer look, we'll find that this kam is completely divya, is completely transcendental. Although externally, it may resemble something of the so-called lusty activities of men and women of this world, but we find that the gopis, they're feeling intensely desirous to offer themselves for Krishna's conjugal pleasure, and maybe even burning in an intense enthusiasm for that, which the acharyas say they have an intense thirst, a calm, a thirst, an obsession to offer themselves for the pleasure of Krishna, not to offer themselves or to combine with Krishna for their own pleasure. It's for his pleasure. But then it says that Krishna, all of that desire, all that obsession, and all that seeming calm that they have, that spiritual calm that they have, that affliction of calm that the gopis have to enjoy with Krishna, immediately becomes relieved as soon as they touch his feet. Feet. Now, anyone who has any experience in this world of men and women, they know that someone who is afflicted with calm or lust, it will not be satisfied by touching someone's feet. If some woman is very lusty and very desirous for a man, if she comes and touches his big toe, that's nice. I touch your big toe, I'm fully relieved of all my burning fire of desire. I'm fully fulfilled. Or some man feeling that way, oh, my beloved, and let me touch your feet. Acha, no, thank you. Now go home. Good night. I hardly think so. Because ours is gross flesh love, material, love or union. It's obviously the polar opposite of the pure transcendental sentiments of the damsels of Braj and Sri Krishna. It's compared to iron and gold. Lokic love or lokic calm is like iron, and this alokic love of the gopis, this transcendental divine love of the gopis for Krishna, is like the rarest, most purified gold imaginable. Hema prem and loha calm. Krishna removes the affliction of the gopis' calm by touching them with his lotus feet. The young girls of Braj affectionately keep those lotus feet on their hearts and serve them in every way. And there's one more verse described as Ashlishyava Parvatam. Verse 18. This is also from Krishna Karanamrita. And this is verse 18 of Krishna Karanamrita. Taran Anana Karanamaya Vipula Yatanayanam Kamala Kucha Kalasimhara Vipuli Krita Pulakam Murali Ravatarali Krita Muni Manasa Nalinam Mama Kela to Madak Chetasi Madharadara Mamritam Madharadara Mamritam. Sri Krishna's eyes are fresh and reddish like the early dawn. Tarun Arun Karun. Who can understand the beauty of the melody and the chandas? The sweetness of this poetic composition, only someone like Radharani and Mahaprabhu can fully appreciate this rendition. Tarun Arana Karunamaya Vivalayata Nayanam Kamala Kucha Kalasivara Vipulikrita Pulakam Murali Ravatarali Krita Muni Manasa Nalinam Mama Kelita Madachetasi Madharadaram Amritam. We have like 0.1% appreciation. Certainly it's attractive to the ear. Even we don't know what it means or what it says. But the sound, we know sound. We know good music when we hear it. If we hear a crow, we say, oh, I don't like that crow. Ha, ha. But we hear a cuckoo. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We don't know what he's saying, what his language is. But we say, oh, it sounds nice. It sounds sweet, melodious. Sri Krishna's eyes are fresh and reddish like the early dawn, full of compassion and very long and wide. Krishna's bodily hairs are standing on end from touching the water pot-like breasts of Sri Radha. It's Kamala Kucha. Kamala Kucha Kalasibhara. Kalasibhara. Kalas, you know, kalas means like a pot. Bhara. Bhara means plump. Plump or fully rounded or heavily laden. Kalas, Kalasi Bhara, Kamala Kucha. Sounds like Shrita Kamala Kucha Mandala. Hey, Shrita Kamala Kucha Mandala. Jayadeva Goswami's. Krishna's bodily hairs are standing an end by the touch of the water pot like breast of Sri Radha. And the sound of Krishna's flute makes the munis restless like the gopis. Murali Ravatarali Krita, Muni Manasa Nalinam. May the sweet nectar of his lips sport in my heart. Tarana arana jini karana swarupani swarupamani vipula nayana shobai jandra radhakucha dvaya bara prema deya gara gara vipula pulaka chamatkar madara murali sware munimana paravane padmavane taralita kari sarakshan krishna madura dara paramamrita shashadhara Chittim Mora Koroka Nartan. This is the Bengali version on the translation. Radha and Krishna are in a solitary Nikunj. The Manjaris are waiting outside, but they can't hear anything. There's no tinkling of ankle bells or any other sounds from inside. Knowing that the Surata Lila, the amorous pastimes of the divine couple, have come to an end, the Sakis are looking through the interstitches, the small holes in the Kunja, and they're appreciating the intimacy of the pastime. Krishna has risen from sleep and he's sitting on the edge of the flower bed. To remove Radha's fatigue and to stimulate her amorous desire, Krishna massages her limbs and cleverly fans her with his chadar. So here we have Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Savior. He's a Savior Bhagavan, the Sevak Bhagavan and Savior, the object of Seva. And we are the Sevaks. Everyone is serving Krishna, Sevak and Savior. But he's serving his devotee. This is the beauty of love, the beauty of bhakti. And this concept, of course, is completely the concept of Braja Bhakti. This secret that Bhagavan serves his devotee is only contained in Braj. This is the rare treasure of Braja Bhakti, that God becomes a servant of his devotees. This you don't find in such a profound and intimate and selfless way, where Krishna takes such a humble role. If you examine Vaikuntha, the servants are at the feet of the Lord. All the servants of Narayan or Vishnu are at the feet of the Lord. And the leader of all those foot rubbers and foot scrubbers is Lakshmi Devi. And everyone's in parampara behind her. She's the greatest of the devotees. But do we read any pastime where Narayan is massaging Lakshmi's feet? That's not possible. In fact, there's even one pastime about Ramchandra. I told that one pastime. When they were in, Sita and Ram were in, Chitrakoot, in the forest of Chitrakoot. They were walking along. There's something to show you some difference here. Ram is a very high form of Bhagavan, Ayodhya Dham. There's lots of sweetness there. There's conjugal love, they're in the forest. They're having scenes very analogous to Radha and Krishna's Van Leela, Ban Bihar Leela. They're in Chitrakoot for 13 years, I think so. And they're wandering the forest, living in a very simple way. There's no royalty there. She's not, although they're the king and the queen and the emperor, they're not coward boys and a coward, it's not a coward boy and a coward girl. It's the emperor of the whole planet and his queen, Sita Devi and Ram. But they're in the forest in Chitrakoot, eating fruits and berries, like Radha and Krishna eat fruits and berries. There's lakes and rivers there, and waterfalls, and mountain caves, and so many things. But it's not Brajadam. And it's not Radha and Krishna, Yugal Kishore. They're walking along one day, Sita and Ram. And by chance, Mother Sita, she stepped on a thorn, small thorn, and went in her foot. And she's, Oh, Ram. Oh, my foot, it's hurting. And he was just standing there. He was walking with Lakshman, and Lakshman was in the back, and Ram, then Sita, and Lakshman. And then she said, "Oh, Ram, I stepped on a thorn. It's hurting my foot." And so then Ram was thinking, "Oh, that's very bad. Sita Devi stepped on a thorn." And then Sita said, "Ram, can you do something, please? Can you do something?" And he was thinking, what can I do? I mean, I'm Bhagavan. I'm Ramchandra. I'm in exile, but I'm the emperor. He was looking this way and looking that way. He was trying to see if anybody is watching, if there's any rishis under some tree meditating that by chance may see him, or anybody, some rishis sitting in a branch of a tree, or anywhere, looking around, any devata traveling by in some pushma viman, traveling overhead. So he's looking all around. There's no one's watching, no one's looking. And she said, "Oh, it hurts, Ram. Can't you do something?" And he's so much hesitation he has, and he's thinking. What can I do? How can I do? When can I do? What does she want me to do? And where's her maid servants? And why is she asking me? And what is this all about? And then Sita says, "Lakshman, tell your brother I'm hurting." And then Ram says, all right. And he's having so much problem. His mind and his heart are going in different directions. And his because he's Maryada Avatar. He's Maryada. Maryada means strict rules and regulations. And Maryada, a husband never touches his wife at all in public. It's not possible for a husband to even touch his wife, let's speak of holding hands, put your arm around me, this, that, the other thing. And then outside of the sleeping quarters, the royal sleeping quarters, there's no contact. And now my wife is asking me to touch her foot, and not just any part of her body, but her foot. How can I do that? Touch her feet? I mean, I'll get my fingers dirty. And I'm the king. You know, all the, so much problem he had. And she says, oh, hurry up. I mean, so this is all going on in 100 directions in his mind. Then finally, he said, listen, Lakshman, look everywhere. Keep your eye. Look everywhere. Just look around. See any sage comes walking on this path here and there. You look very, just look very intently all directions. And they said, yeah. Then he took Sita, come here. And they went under some, behind some big boulder, some rock, under some trees, and very secret, hidden place in the dark, no sunshine. Then he looked 100 times this way, that way. And he said, okay. And very nervously and softly said, okay, give me your foot. Where is it? There, yeah. Okay. Then he took the thorn out. It's Ram Lila. Now in Krishna Lila, see the difference. Krishna Lila also in forest. And Krishna, Radharani was walking with Krishna. And Radharani was thinking, oh, and this is one pastime. Radharani's thinking, I want to play a trick on my Shyam. I want to play a trick on my Priyatam. So she looked at Lalita Sakhi, and she had cast a sidelong glance to Lalita Sakhi, and Vishakha Sakhi on her side, and Lalita Sakhi on Krishna's side, and she said, I'm going to make some fun now with Shyam Sundar. So then Radharani's walking, and Radharani says, Shyam, look at my foot, I stepped on something, I think I stepped on a thorn, oh. And then immediately, Shyam bent down, oh, Priyaji, let me see. Immediately, within a split second, Krishna bent down and said, put your foot. And Krishna sat down, and Radharani, you know, she leaned, she held herself, put her two arms around Vishakha and Lalita, and lifted her foot. And Krishna immediately put Radharani's foot on, sat on the ground, right on the ground, put Radharani's foot on her, on his thigh. And he was looking very intently, looking at her toe. And he said, I think it's on your toe. And then Krishna touched her toe. Is it here? You feel pain here? No. Not there. Oh, let me see. Oh, maybe. And he saw a little speck of dust or something on another toe. Then Krishna touched that. Is it here? No. How about here, in the front of your foot, the ball of the foot? No. Maybe, I think it's a little down, I think. Okay. And Krishna's touching each part of her foot and pressing. Is it hurt here? I think there's a little red here. Is it here? No. Here? And then all the gopis they're looking at each other. And Krishna's totally absorbed in Radharani's feet. He forgot the world, he forgot himself, he forgot everything, his heart, mind, everything was fixed on Radharani's feet. Are you okay? Is this our... And the Krishna was going all over Radharani's foot, each and every toe, and each front, back, side of her foot. He says, it's Priyaji, I'm looking everywhere, I can't find it. I don't know. And then Radharani started, you know, slightly smiling. And then Krishna looked up and said, are you sure you... It wasn't maybe you just stepped on a rock and then it just hurt and then it wasn't nothing punctured your skin? I don't know. You better look. So he looked again and Radharani smiling and Krishna looked and he said, oh, did you really step on a thorn? And Radharani said, no. And everyone laughed and clapped their hands. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. So this is a difference that in the past times there wasn't even a thorn. And Krishna is so much attentive to serving his devotee. This type of mood, this type of surrender and submission to the devotee of the Lord or to his devotee is only found in Vrindavan and only found with Krishna and his devotees, his Braja Bhaktas, not in any other plane of the spiritual world, from Mathura to Dwarka to Ayodhya to Vaikuntha, anywhere. So Krishna is massaging Radharani's limbs and fanning her with his chatter. Krishna is the embodiment of nectar. He's maddening our Sakhi Radha with the happiness of her good fortune. Krishna's naturally youthful reddish eyes have become even more red by drinking the nectar of Radha's lips. And Krishna's eyes are becoming restless with intoxicating amorous desires. Full of tenderness, Krishna fans Radha to remove her perspiration. Seeing Radha's fatigue due to amorous sports, Krishna's heart overflows with an ocean of compassion, and he endeavors in various ways to mitigate Priyaji's tiredness. Krishna places Radha, he sits Radha on his lap, and the touch of each other's bodies drowns them in an ocean of various bhavas, ashtasattvic bhavas. Krishna's endeavors to remove Radha's fatigue from amorous play increases their desire to sport again. Even the hard hearts of the munis become restless when they hear Krishna play his flute. Madhura Murali Swari Munimana Padmavani Munimana Padmavani Taralita Kari Sarvakshan Taralita Kari Sarvakshan. When Radha is in Man, Krishna tries in various ways to pacify her. This dense Man or unfavorable mood of Radha, her sulkiness, her pouting, is not removed, even though Krishna falls at Radha's feet and he cries at her feet. But somehow it becomes vanquished by his playing one note on the flute. The sound of Krishna's flute enters Radha's ears and makes her mad, unmad. All glories to such a flute. So that's the question. What is that one note? What is that one note that Krishna plays? Krishna's crying, he's falling at Radha on his feet, he's pressing her feet, massaging her feet, trying to encourage her and induce her to give up her unfavorable mood or contrary mood or pouting and sulkiness in Man. He's even crying and moistening or wetting Radharani's feet with the cooling tears of his intense anurag and love. Man is not going. So then he says, I'm not having any success in this way. Radharani's still acting contrary, unfavorable. What more can I do? What do I have? What do I have with me? All I have is me. I have my body, my hands, my eyes, and I have this one object, my murali, my vamshi, my flute. That's all I have. I tried my hands, my heart. I tried to remove Radharani's man with my hands, with my heart, with my mind, with my words, with the movements of my body. Tarana arana jini, tarana. Tarana. Tarana means the body. But I'm not successful. All right, let me resort to my murali. So Krishna takes his murali, is tucked in his dhoti on the left side, and he takes it out and he starts vibrating his murali vad, murali nad. Very nice, beautiful. Only one note, he plays one note. One note on the flute, just one note. Sa re ga ma pa da ni sa. And then Radharani, all her man is vanquished. Her Sumeru, or Mount Sumeru of Man, Mount Meru of Man becomes immediately vanquished by one note. What is that note? It is the fifth note. Sa re ga ma pa ni na sa. It's the fifth note. Because the fifth note is that special sound or that special vibration that is emanating or produced at a time when the lovers are enjoying the epitome of happiness in conjugal vilas. When Krishna vibrates that one note, that sound vibration, that makes Radharani unmad, prem unmad. She becomes mad because she immediately becomes flooded with the memory, rasadgar, immediately immerses herself in the memory of the most sweet and intimate pastimes that she had recently, previously enjoyed with Krishna. So this is some of the sweetness of prem bhajan. For us, we're like looking through Mount Palomar, Palomar telescope at the rings of Saturn. It's some distant planet millions of miles away. We're looking through a telescope trying to understand or get some faint idea of these things because we're not on the level of Prem Bhajan. This is Astayam Bhajan, Prem Bhajan. We hear, and I said this hearing, this Shravana Dasha, it creates some whitewashing on the heart. Before you color the walls, first you put some chuna, whitewashing on the raw cement. and the gray-black cement becomes whitewashed, it becomes white. And then you do that a few coats, it becomes solid white. It's called undercoat, primary coat, if you've ever painted. Even in art, you have a piece of canvas, you don't start painting on the canvas, you paint it white first. So the canvas of our heart is rather black, at least ours. That blackness of our heart is the accumulated crud. The accumulated crud of millions of lifetimes of greedy dealings and lusty dealings and envious dealings and angry dealings. We've collected a lot of sludge, a lot of crud on the walls of our heart, the canvas of our heart. So we can't hide it. It's just black. And it comes out at various crucial times and crucial situations, how envious we are, how proud, how greedy, how lusty. So we have to do some intense whitewashing. So the walls of the heart become, the canvas of the heart becomes whitewashed by Shravana Dasha, by hearing with attention, hearing with desire, hearing with surrender, hearing with sankalp, or one-pointed mind. When the walls of the heart become white, then we can apply the coloring. The coloring is called rag. The word rag means color. Raganuga. Raganuga bhakti. Ragatmika bhakti. The Brajagopis have ragatmika, and we're following that ragatmika. It's raganuga. So this hearing process, we're hearing about these prem dealings, very high subjects, very intimate subjects, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing in this chapter. And there, for us, at the level of anartha nivritti or nishta, wherever we may be, it is a whitewashing program. Cheto darpana marjan is marjan. Marjan means whitewashing. Washing the heart. Color, preparing the heart. And no preparation, then you can't paint. The paint won't work, won't stick, won't appear properly. So it's beneficial at all stages. We're aspiring for prem, so we do whitewashing. If we're on the level of prem, then it's a new coat of paint. The walls are already red, and we add another coat of red, so they become even redder and even deeper. Increases our anurag. If we have rag or anurag at the level of prem, then hearing and meditating on these verses of Krishna Karanamrita, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these verses in the Gambira, and he certainly wasn't whitewashing his heart. He is relishing the highest ecstasies of Mahabhav, Madanakya Mahabhav, Divyonmad. With the same verses we're reading, Tanurnanana Kananamaya, Vibala Yatanayanam, Kamala Kucha Kalasibara, Vipuli Krita Pulakam, Murali Ravatarli Krita Muni Manasanalinam, Mama Kelutum Madachetasi Madaradaram Amritam. Poor hearing and falling asleep. We're hearing and thinking, oh, not bad, nice, sweet. Lord Chaitanya is hearing and fainting and going through stamba and his hair standing in and he's moaning and groaning and completely exhibiting all the sudipta, most inflamed, ecstatic expressions of divine love all at once with the same verse that we're hearing today on the banks of Shamakha and Kartik.